The first thing you notice isn't the blue of the water or the green of the palms, but the sound of human teeth grinding against iron in the dark of a ship's hold. We are told the Caribbean was discovered, but the truth is it was a crime scene before it was ever a colony. On November 23, 1733, the Danish West India Company realized too late that you can buy a man's body, but you cannot purchase the silence of a king. 12 men are walking toward the gates of Fort Frederiksvarn on the island of St. John, their backs bent under the weight of bundled firewood. The Danish sentry looks at their feet, not their faces, because to him, they are just biological gears in a sugar-producing machine. He doesn't see the sharpened steel hidden in the brushwood. He doesn't hear the rhythmic breathing of men who have spent 3 months calculating the exact number of seconds it takes for a blade to find the throat of a sleeping empire. The first strike is silent. The second is a wet thud. By the time the sun hits the center of the sky, the Danish flag is in the dirt, and the Caribbean is screaming. Deep in the red clay of the abandoned sugar works at Coral Bay, there is a secret that has survived 3 centuries of tropical storms and colonial erasure. Archaeologists have unearthed a series of cobalt blue Dutch trade beads, but they aren't where they should be. They aren't in jewelry or trade caches. They are found pressed into the palm bones of the dead, arranged in a specific recurring geometric sequence that matches nothing in African or European decorative art. This is the blue bead code. For 200 years, it was dismissed as a pagan ritual, but recent spatial mapping suggests these beads are a physical cipher. They are a map to a location in the Puerto Rican interior that officially does not exist. We are going to track this code through the blood-soaked hills of St. John, and we won't reveal the final coordinate until the smoke clears from the final execution. We are shifting now from the chaos of the fort to the cold, hard mathematics of the ledger. To understand the violence, you have to understand the forensic reality of the Danish West India Company. In 1733, an enslaved person was not a human. They were a depreciating asset with a high caloric requirement. The Danes implemented the slave code of September 5th, which stated that any enslaved person who lifted a hand against a white person would have their right hand lopped off. If they ran away for more than 8 days, they lost a leg. This wasn't just cruelty. It was a corporate risk management strategy designed to maximize the crushing season. The sugar mills are massive granite rollers that require a constant rhythmic feed of cane. If a hand gets caught in the rollers, there is a hatchet hanging on a nail next to the machine. You don't stop the mill. You chop the arm and keep feeding the gears. This is the clinical reality of the wealth that built the banks of Copenhagen. Look at your own hands for a second. Imagine the grit of charcoal and the sticky cloying residue of raw molasses coating your skin until it feels like a second, suffocating layer of flesh. You haven't slept in 20 hours. The overseer is a man named Johannes van Beverhout, and he is watching you with a spyglass from a shaded veranda while you bake in 104-degree heat. You aren't thinking about freedom in a philosophical sense. You are thinking about the weight of the machete in your hand and how easily it could slice through the soft tissue of a neck instead of the tough fiber of the cane. The rebellion didn't start with a speech. It started with a look between two men who realized they had nothing left to lose because they were already dead in the eyes of the law. The Akwamu rebels are moving through the brush like ghosts. They aren't just former slaves. They are elite soldiers from the Gold Coast who were captured in tribal wars and sold into the Atlantic trade. They understand flanking maneuvers. They understand psychological operations. As the plantations burn, the sky over St. John turns a bruised, sickly purple. The smell of burning sugar is heavy. It's a sweet, rotting stench that sticks to the back of your throat and makes you want to gag. We are standing on the ridge of Mary's Point, looking down at the Danish militia. They are terrified. They are firing their muskets into the trees at shadows, wasting their powder while the Akwamu wait for the moon to drop. This is a tactical masterclass in guerrilla warfare, executed by people the world deemed uneducated. The investigation into the blue bead code reveals a chilling detail. Each bead in the burials was chipped in a specific way, creating a tactile language for the blind or those moving in total darkness. As the French military moves in from Martinique with 250 sharpshooters, the rebels realize the geography of the island is shrinking. The French are using scorched earth tactics. They aren't looking for a fight. They are looking to starve the revolution. They burn the provision grounds. They poison the wells. We see the rebel leaders gathering at the cliffs of Ramhead. They are wearing the blue beads around their necks now. The code isn't just a map to a place, it's a map to a choice. The forensic records from 1734 show that when the French finally reached the cliffside, they didn't find a surrendering army. They found a circle of bodies. The Ekwamu chose a collective ritual of going home. They believed that the water was a bridge, not a barrier. By jumping from the cliffs, they were bypassing the Atlantic and returning to the soil of their ancestors. But here is the piece of evidence that the history books leave out. When the bodies were recovered, the blue beads were missing. Every single one of them. The corpses had empty palms and bare necks. This suggests that before the final leap, a small group, perhaps the youngest or the fastest, was given the map and sent into the interior of the neighboring islands. The legal fallout of the St. John Revolt was a blueprint for every slave colony in the Americas. It led to the Black Acts, a series of terror-based laws that turned the Caribbean into a panopticon. But the mystery of the beads remained unsolved until 1999, when a construction crew in a remote valley of Puerto Rico uncovered a cache of cobalt glass arranged in the exact same geometric pattern found on St. John. The code worked. The survivors didn't just escape. They built a hidden society that lasted for generations, right under the noses of the Spanish crown. They were the ones who truly won the War of 1733. Is the history we are taught in schools a deliberate lie designed to make us believe that resistance is futile, or are you just too comfortable to look for the blue beads in your own life? Do you believe the 300 who jumped from the cliff were victims of despair? Or were they the only truly free people in the entire Atlantic world?